as we have been, share a few things with you concerning how Jesus invites us in and the way that he brings us into his house and into his family. Now, some of you might remember growing up, or maybe it was even more recently, that when it was time for some kind of game at school or in the neighborhood, you know, a team-oriented game, what would happen was two captains would be selected, and then the captains would choose teams. And sometimes they would have some kind, the captains would have some kind of contest to see who went first. And so the first captain makes the choice, and usually it's the best player there. And then the next one gets the second best player. And all the way through until the last one chosen just feels awful, just terrible. I've seen people just walk away before they were chosen because of that. And it's demeaning, it's dishonoring. All kinds of negative things go on like that because you are automatically pegged as the worst one there. And it can be just as bad if you are the second worst or the third worst. It just, you know, as it goes along, you see what's happening. And there are two ways of dealing with that kind of dishonor, because that happens in all kinds of situations in our life. And the two ways of dealing with that generally and naturally are this. One is you just go and make your own team. You leave, you go, you do it yourself, your own team, your own company, your own class, your own church, you know, whatever it is that you feel left out of, you just up you go and there you go. You make your own. The other one is that you confront the people who have been dishonoring to you. Even if you lose, you've stood up for your honor. And that's another way that it goes. And what I want to suggest to you today, as natural as those two things are, that there is a third way, which is supernatural. It's not really humanly natural. And the third way is the way that Jesus gives us, the way that he goes through those kinds of situations where we feel left out or belittled, shamed perhaps in one way or another. Shame, by the way, is just, it's pretty much the fear of being left out and even being left out permanently. And you react to that thinking, oh, or whatever it is you think. And those two ways of dealing with that will rise up. Either go make your own or you stand up for your honor. And Jesus comes along and gives us this third way. And the third way has to do with how he took our shame, our dishonor, our reaction to being left out, whatever it may be. He took that on the cross. And the cross, is, as we've seen in recent weeks, is a very shameful death. It was outside of the city. It was in the worst part of the environment that you could possibly find. And no one felt there was any honor if you were crucified. And yet God looked at that shameful death that Jesus took upon himself and raised him up in honor, gave him honor above all honor, the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. That's the third way. And that third way is that we receive from Jesus everything he has for us and follow after him all the days of our life. That's the way of restoring honor, of being included, of being restored among us. Now, there are some things to look at about that that take us just a little deeper. And one of them is this, is that in the gospel we saw today that Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep and so forth. Now, shepherding as a way of making a living, a way of life, has been very important in America, and particularly here on the East Coast and these states right here around Virginia and so forth. All right in there, shepherding was very, very important in the amongst the earliest European settlers, who tended to be Irish or English shepherds would come. You know, they'd be here, bring their flocks or raising up their flocks. And what they imported from that area of the world was a more Celtic means of shepherding. And by that, one of the practices of the early Celts was to have free-range shepherding, which meant there was no fences. And one of the advantages of that is that the flock would take a much wider area for grazing, and it would be a lot easier on the environment and so forth. Whereas if you kind of fenced them in, the area inside the fence, really took a toll. It was very difficult on that. But they did that so they could keep going in the same area. Very effective way of shepherding. But it did have its disadvantages. And one of the disadvantages was it was easier to steal the sheep. There was no fence to keep you out. So you could just, if you were the thief, you went and you took the sheep that you wanted, and it was easy enough. When the shepherd discovered that the sheep were missing and found out who took them, then that shepherd in that system, that culture, had every right to go and violently restore the sheep to the flock. And the violence was usually perpetrated upon the thief, not upon the sheep or whoever was stolen. And that was the means of restoring the flock, was to violently take care of the person who disrupted the flock, who kept them out. Now that started coming into the culture, and standing up for your honor often had some violence in it. Duels come out of that. You would challenge someone to a duel because of what they had done to your honor. You had to restore your honor, so you challenge them to a duel. That was, God bless you, John. This is one of the things that comes out. And there's other kinds of ways in which that continued to go. And that's one of those natural kinds of ways of dealing with dishonor. You either go on your own or you stand up for it. And that third way that Jesus gives us takes both into account, and he takes care of both of them. He violently stood up for our honor by taking that violence upon himself. And he went and made the way that he makes. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so both are completely encompassed in his life and in his work and in his invitation to us. And for us to follow after him, to answer his call, to receive his invitation, to be in his family, means that we have now come all the way in, and there is no possibility of being kicked out, of being dishonored. We go all the way into the middle with Jesus. And there is no possibility of him saying, well, what I want you to do is get lost as fast as you can because you didn't live up to who we are. It's completely, eternally, permanently restored forever. Now, that can be difficult for us sometimes to accept and to receive. And part of the reasons that can be difficult to accept and receive is because sometimes we don't feel it in other areas of our life. It's not the experience that we sometimes have. And there will be others who will put that wall up, who will try to keep us out, who some dishonoring, some shaming, some anger, whatever it may be, that keeps us at arm's distance, keeps us away, and doesn't want to have that flow of relationship. But what Jesus does is, even when that happens, he has overcome it. He has done what is necessary to get past any place, any way, and any manner in which we are kept out and we are dishonored. Now, it may be a little work that has to be done, or maybe a lot of work that has to be done in those relationships that are damaged. But you are in the middle with him no matter what. And that means that we can safely move towards having that same kind of acceptance of each other. Now, it's not that we don't want that, or we don't do that, or purposely try to keep people out, but occasionally there's things that happen. And those things that happen can keep us at a distance from each other. And we can overcome that because of what He has provided. And what we can do is be transparent with each other. And that transparency is not a window into our sinfulness where you just make some kind of public confession of sin so everybody knows it. That transparency is a window into what God is giving us, into the presence of Jesus in the middle of our lives, in the Spirit that now dwells within us and dwells within us together. And the way that that third path of following after Jesus operates is that we are encouraging to one another. We're encouraging to each other. We're encouraging because of each other. And it's not that we, you know, blame and shame people into doing what God wants them to do. It's that we are the encouragers and the cheerleaders. And we encourage each other to take the step that God's really prompted you to take. And if you thought you were going to take a whole step and it was just a half a step, that is something to cheer about, something to encourage each other about, because Jesus has won even that half step. And we were taking it in His power. That's the way that the church operates. It's all on that principle that everyone is equal to everyone else. Everyone is spiritually equal to everyone else. Now, you might know some things that I don't know, so you know more, and the amount of content is unequal. But spiritually, you and I and everyone else are equal. And the encouragement that you and I give each other is equal. That's the Christian faith. That's following Jesus. It's you and I seeing Jesus in each other and encouraging that. Now, a lot of times people will say to me, no, that is not the case. You have a seminary degree. You convinced the bishop to ordain you, all of this. You're just above us. Well, no, I'm not. We're Christians here. There's nothing like that. There's sets of responsibilities. You have responsibilities that I don't have. I have responsibilities that you don't have. But spiritually, you're equal. There are things that Jesus will give you that He will only give you, and I will only see through you. And it would be up to me to be encouraging of that, open to that, cheering that on, because I will never get that directly. I will only get it from you. And it's the same with everyone else. We are examples to each other, and we are led by each other. I've shared that with you before. I know. You will not see everything that Jesus wants you to see of Him if you only look for that through me, because I'm the vicar. It will only be a very small section of Jesus that you see, and that will increase as you look for Him through each other, as we do that together and encourage each other together. And the reason we can do that is because He has taken everything upon Himself that keeps us separated, paid for it, made up for it, and restored us into His family fully. So, Let me get to my final two questions. What is it that God is telling you about your place in the family? In His house? Maybe He's telling you something right now this morning in some way about the prayers that you pray. So all the prayers that you pray are originally prayed by Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, where He ever lives to give intercession for us. He's praying right now. And there'll be a portion of those prayers that He shares with you that He won't share with me or anyone else. It's because they're for you to pray. That's your place in the house of prayer. Or is He telling you something else about the way that you are caring for and concerned about others, just generally? That's part of the ministry of Jesus, and He gives that to you. And as He gives that to you, and you follow it out, you take the step that He prompts you to take, then that's accomplished. And He may not have prompted anyone else to do that. And your action, your obedience, your following Jesus is as valuable and significant as anyone else's. Because it was His idea that you do that. Because you've been restored into the family. Because nothing will separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that will come upon you that will keep you from Jesus saying, "Come, let's do this together." Whatever it may be this morning that He's tapping you on the shoulder about, having thoughts come into your mind, memories, whatever it may be, there's something about your place in the household and how significant you are and how the honor you have before God has been restored by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then, in fact, you are not only saved from your sin, but you're saved into a community, a family, in which that honor is carried out, in which you give and receive with the other members of that family, the other people here, and the ones that will, from the community that we'll be inviting in from now until the day Jesus returns. So with that in mind, is there a step or a half a step that He would have you take today or this week? Is there a prompting, a prayer, a kind word, whatever it may be that He wants you to take, that when you do that, you have made a significant, important contribution into the extension of the kingdom of God? Pray about it. See what happens.